I'm teaching foundations class right now, foundations in the science of mind, which is the first class that is required to in order to take the other classes. And we started teaching spiritual mind treatment this week, which is our form of affirmative prayer. And so the core of spiritual mind treatment, and actually the core of healing in any way, is recognizing and then embodying the truth that there is only one power in this universe, and that that power is that thing we call God. To recognize that that one power is everywhere present, that it is in and through everything. And not only then do we live and move and have our beingness within this presence, but that presence also expresses within us because we are individualized expressions of that one. We are the microcosm of the macrocosm. We are endowed with all those qualities of the divine, and we are of that same essence. And so I learned something really interesting this week. I went to a minister's conference, and one of the speakers was talking about the fact that in Jesus' day, Jesus spoke the language of Aramaic. I'm just going to wait because everybody's looking out the window. So I learned something really interesting at this conference. One of the speakers was talking about the fact that we know Jesus spoke the language of Aramaic. And the word that he used for God was actually nafsha. And the word nafsha actually does not have a masculine tense. In the Aramaic language, in the days of Jesus, there was no masculine tense to refer to that thing we call God. That the word nafsha actually means the I am presence. It actually means that in whom I have my beingness. And it wasn't until the Council of Nicaea in 300 AD that the word Abba was inserted that meant Father. Jesus never used that word Father. He used the word nafsha, the I am that I am. And so if we were to name that divine presence, that the I am presence that I live in, the I am presence that exists within me, we would not see ourselves as separate and distinct and apart. It's that idea of Father that puts this beingness somewhere outside of us, far off in heaven. But when we name that I am presence that we live and move in, then we know that we are one with that. The I am that I am. The I am that you are. That presence is what we're talking about. And so Spinoza, who was an 18th century philosopher who really laid the groundwork for the Enlightenment period, says, all creation is an extension of the infinite I am. That's what we're talking about. The infinite I am that everything is. And so that means then that we are like a drop of water in the ocean. That we are, and a drop is, immersed in the whole of the ocean, surrounded by that ocean, contains the same qualities as the ocean. The drop of water contains the same salt and the same oxygen and the same hydrogen and the same potassium. That drop of water contains the same qualities of the ocean, wetness and slipperiness and saltiness, contains the qualities of that which it is a part of. We are a part of that one like that. And so that one presence, that one cause of everything, that life force energy, nafsha, is life itself. It is the good. It is mind. It is consciousness, the consciousness of which everything is permeated with. It is power. And it contains, that presence contains the qualities of love and peace and order and harmony and intelligence and wholeness. That means then that we already contain within us, as part of our natural essence, peace and love and wholeness and intelligence and harmony and all of those same qualities, because we are emanations of that divine presence. And the title of my talk today is Whole in One. And I'm talking about the fact that we are whole in that one. We are whole in that presence and in that consciousness of oneness. The thing is, though, we experience that wholeness when we believe it. We experience that wholeness when we embody the truth that there is only one, that we are a part of that one. And so there's a story that I'd like to share with you, and it goes like this. Once upon a time in a village in Borneo, a half boy is born, a boy with only half, the right half of his body. He becomes a source of irritation, embarrassment, and confusion to himself, his family, and the entire village. Nonetheless, he grows and eventually reaches the age of adolescence. His halfness and incompleteness becomes unbearable to him and to all those around him. One day he leaves the village, dragging himself along until he reaches a place where the road crosses a river. At that crossroad, he meets another youth who exists as only the left side, the other half of a person. They move toward each other as if destined to join. Surprisingly, when they meet, they begin to fight and roll in the dust. They fall into the river. After a time, from the river, there arises an entire youth with sides put together. The new youth walks to the nearest village. Seeing an old man, he asks, "Can you tell me where I am? I've been struggling and don't know my place." The old man says, "You have arrived home. You are back in the village where you were born. Now that you have returned whole, everyone can begin to dance and to celebrate." And so it was, and so it is. That is what we do. We spend our life looking for and searching for our wholeness, the part of ourselves that seem to be missing, the part that we think is lacking. The truth is, though, we will not discover and know our wholeness until we discover our spiritual nature. When we step into that, all of a sudden, we are more. All of a sudden, there is something more. When we discover our divine essence, when we discover the truth of who we are, that's when we step into our wholeness. The problem is, every single one of us has this idea that we hold on to, that we are somehow not enough, that there is something somehow defective about us, that something is missing, that something is lacking. Every one of us, we hold on to that not enoughness. There are messages that we got when we were a very young person, and we still are identifying with those messages that we got then. But in reality, they were only someone's opinion. They weren't the truth. They are not who we are. We also live in this collective consciousness of humanity that holds a belief that says human beings are limited. We are limited by our past. We are limited by our experience. We are limited by our gender. We are limited by our age. We have all sorts of stories that we tell ourselves about how and why we are limited. But those ideas of limitation, we see them being broken apart every single day. We see people moving past those self-imposed limitations every day. And so when we watched the Olympics, we saw that so clearly. Every time we have Olympics, people are breaking those world records. They are swimming faster and running faster. We're breaking the limitations that we believe we have as human beings. I know a couple Olympics ago, when they do all those little side stories, they were doing a side story about when women first started ice skating the Olympics. And it was believed that women could only jump up and do one turn. Is that hysterical? And that's what they did. That's what they believed was all that was possible. And I think we all know that story about Roger Bannister, who broke that 4-minute mile in 1954. It was believed by all of the scientists that it was physically impossible to run faster than a four-minute mile. It is said that people even tied bulls to their backs to make them run even faster to get out of the way of the bull. Now, more than 450 people have run under a four-minute mile. But it took the collective belief that it was possible. That made it possible for people to do it. As long as we hold that limitation in mind, that's exactly what we experience. And so Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says, "We cannot demonstrate beyond our ability to mentally embody an idea. The argument is between our experience, what the world believes, and what we are convinced is the truth, with a capital T." So we do this argument and this vacillating between what the world says is possible and what we know is the truth, that we are infinite beings endowed with all that we could ever need to live this full life and to thrive. So it's so important to tell ourselves the truth so that we can move forward, and to tell ourselves the truth that we are made out of that wholeness of God. And so what that says then is that changing our thinking changes our experience. And I know that every one of us in this room wants to experience our own wholeness. We want to experience our own enoughness. We want to experience our own power and the power to create the lives of our choosing, the lives that we want to live. We want to be able to live in health and in peace and with a sense of well-being. All of those things are expressions of wholeness. All of those are expressions of the wholeness of the divine that lives within us. And that wholeness is our spiritual nature. Just like contained within the acorn is the nature of the oak tree. In that acorn, there is everything that it needs to be a full, thriving oak tree, to be able to send down roots and put out branches and put out leaves. Everything that it needs is already contained in the acorn. Like that, the potential and the wholeness of the universe is already implanted in us and exists just like that tree exists within the acorn. We contain everything that we need to be all that we're meant to be here on this planet, because we are emanations of wholeness. And that divine pattern of wholeness that is held in the mind of that which caused all things to be never changes. That pattern never changes. And so Holmes says there is a universal wholeness seeking expression through everything. The nature of the divine is seeking expression through everything. So that wholeness is always seeking expression through us when we get ourselves out of the way. And that wholeness always exists within us regardless of our experiences, regardless of any traumas or any challenges or any difficulties or any hurt or illness or injury. That pattern of wholeness still exists within us. It can never be touched. It's the core essence as a part of us. It is always intact. And so the key then is to identify with that, to identify with that spiritual essence of perfection and wholeness, because that creates a space within us for it to come forward and be our material reality. As we identify with wholeness, with that presence, with our spirit, our vibration changes. That vibratory resonance changes, so we resonate with the truth of that wholeness that is already available. It creates an opening within us for wholeness and for harmony and for order to unveil itself, because it's already there. So as we identify with our godliness, if you will, we create that opening, an opening for the divine to express in its fullness, because we are no longer blocking that with our contradictory beliefs. Do you get that? We get the contradictory beliefs out of the way so what is already available can come forward and become our reality. And so Ernest Holmes says, when we become conscious of our oneness with universal good, beliefs in evil, sin, sickness, limitation, and death tend to disappear. When we become convinced within ourselves that there is only one power in this universe, all of those things begin to disappear because there's nothing to keep them alive. As our belief in the power of evil or the power of sickness or the power of disharmony disappears, and we know that there is only one power, the physical manifestations that we experience of those lacks tends to disappear. And that's what spiritual mind treatment does for us. Spiritual mind treatment is a tool that we use to change our focus, from what isn't working, what is challenging, instead to put our attention on the truth with a capital T, the truth of the omnipresence of good, the truth of the omnipresence of wholeness and of order and of harmony. That moves us to that place. The truth is that all that the infinite is right here where we stand. It is right here where we stand, and it is within us all the time. Not only is it within us, within our lives, within our bodies, within our circumstances, but it is expressing as our lives and our bodies and our experiences and our circumstances. It's permeated with the divine. So what happens is it's like turning on the light. We flip on the light switch. You don't have to fight the darkness. When you turn on the light, the darkness disappears without effort. So it's just about knowing the truth and embodying the truth and living in that awareness. In that light of truth, disharmony evaporates. In that light of truth, disease fades away because there's nothing to keep it alive when our attention is on the truth. And so Ernest Holmes says, prayer does something to the mind of the one praying. It does not do anything to God. If prayer has been answered, it is not because God has moved to answer one man and not another, but because one man has moved, because one man more than another has moved himself into a right relationship with the Spirit or the principle of being. In prayer, in spiritual mind treatment, we move ourselves. We move our thinking into that which is already true and available and present, simply awaiting our recognition of it. And so my invitation to you this week is to affirm, to tell yourself, to use those affirmations about the truth of who you are. And so I invite you to say this after me right now. I am a limitless being endowed with all the qualities of the infinite. We can do it in two parts. I am a limitless being. I am a limitless being endowed with all the qualities of spirit. Endowed with all the qualities of spirit. My life is the divine expressing itself here and now. My life is the divine expressing itself here and now. Every time you find yourself telling yourself that you are limited, tell yourself the truth. I am a part of the infinite, and it's the infinite expressing itself as my life. Tell yourself those types of things that move you forward and expand you. And do spiritual mind treatment. And if you don't know how, ask a practitioner to write one for you. Or go online. You can find spiritual mind treatments online for all sorts of things. Convince yourself of the truth, of your inseparable oneness with good, your inseparable oneness with wholeness. And then meditate until you have that inner realization of oneness. In that place, no one has to tell you. It reveals itself as the truth, oneness, that there is only one. And then you will find a healing of the dis-ease in your life. You will find a healing of the disharmony in your life. You will find yourself living in the flow and living in grace and living in an abundance of good. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of awakening and this path of unfolding and this path of stepping into your wholeness and your greatest good yet. Blessings to you. And so I invite you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment. And so how good it is to answer that call to prayer that always exists within us. That call back home to live and move and remember our beingness in this one presence, in this one power, in this presence of grace and infinite potential and boundless good. This presence that we walk in and live in and have our beingness within. The I am presence that is back of everything, in everything, and through everything. How good it is to lean back into this place of truth. This place that we remember deep within ourselves where we have come from. But the truth is we still live in this one because it really is all that is, expressing itself as everything. And so today I know that we walk in this presence, that we walk in this light, and that that light and that presence and wholeness and love and peace and bounty express themselves within us as the fullness of who we are, as the essence of what we are. And today there is an embodying of this idea, an embodying of this truth in a greater way than we have ever had before. This realization, yes, that is what I am. And so today we walk as this light of God, shining it and sharing it everywhere we go, and healing abounds everywhere. And so I speak this word also not just for us in this room, but recognizing that this is the truth about every person on this planet, that we are all individualized expressions of this one, and that we all walk in that presence, and right now it is revealing itself to everyone on this planet as the exact thing that they need, as health and as wholeness and as an abundance of good, as harmony in relationships, as peace in hearts, as good. And I speak this word also for our world leaders right now, for our politicians and our policymakers and our decision makers, knowing that that one presence of absolute intelligence, that presence of absolute love and the truth of oneness is unfolding itself right now through their thoughts and through their decisions and through their actions, so that we are each and every one of us creating a world that works for everyone. Not just for some, but for everyone, because this is God's world. And so I know it is God having its way through them as the very beings that they are today and as the decisions that are being made now. And so I am so grateful to know this truth and so grateful to witness the unfolding of this here and now. And so it is with absolute confidence and with faith and with trust that today we step forward as the light and we see it everywhere we go, knowing that seeing it calls it forward in a whole new way. And so I release this prayer and I say, thank you to this entire universe for all of this good. And so it is.